Hello.
Hey, Joe Kara.
Hello.
Hi. Hey.
Lewis.
So nice to see you. Thank you. Oh, having a good time? Did you have your lunch?
Buffet.
I'm good. Just right here?
Yeah, perfect.
Alrighty. So basically, you know, this is Luis, Patty, Ashley. On the phone, we have Lupe right there.
We have a nice guest.
Nestor.
Terrific. Hi. I'm so glad you guys got to come to the hotel.
Yeah. Okay. Everyone was introduced.
Indeed. Have you had a chance to check out the...
okay, ba-dum-bum.
No,
go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Have you had a chance to check out the Blu-ray yet, the new one?
I haven't looked at it yet, no. Mm-hmm. But they did come to my house and did a little documentary on my life called Always Belle. Mm-hmm. 3 days they shot it. Have you seen it yet?
I seen part of it. I got my reviewer on it. She loved it.
Oh, good. And then they're doing a segment also on, because I'm an artist for Disney now. Mm-hmm. I signed with them as an artist of Disney Fine Art. So a little bit on my paintings in there as well.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I've always painted my whole life. In fact, when I went to New York, I would do paintings and sell them on the street to help pay my rent. So.
Did you, Belle was your first job for Disney?
Yes, it was.
And now you're just part of the Disney family?
I am. It's really an amazing dream come true. You know, I grew up idolizing, you know, some of my Disney heroines, especially Mary Poppins and Julie Andrews. And ironically, I met Julie at one of the events, and we ended up hanging out for 2 nights together at the Disney World, which is like a major dream come true. It was my first day. I was a Broadway girl, and they were looking specifically for theater people because they wrote it as a Broadway musical on film. So pretty much all the principals were Broadway people, including Robbie. So.
So what's it like being a Disney princess?
It's life-changing in a wonderful way. You know, it's kind of ironic. You know, people spend their whole lives, you know, to get on Broadway and do these wonder, and it was my life dream. But, you know, a lot of the performances, you know, they're gone. You know, this is around forever. Long after I'm gone, the legacy and this beautiful, beautiful film will affect people's lives forever, you know. So that makes it an amazing feeling. I love being able to, you know, have the ability to reach out to kids, you know, globally rather than just in New York when I'm doing a show, you know. It's really an amazing honor.
I'm talking about the genre for you. Is it primarily a love story or?
Yes, I think it's a love story. But it's also a story of lessons. Lessons and changes. And the Beast makes, the biggest change. And I think it's more evident in this film than the original Beauty and the Beast, which was the Jean Cocteau version. Mm-hmm. I think that the Beast has more of a growth in this film, the way they wrote it, the way Linda wrote it. And, you know, and the message is timeless, you know. Mm-hmm. Beauty comes from within. Mm-hmm. And look at our crazy society even now. People are prejudiced in skin color or whatever, accents. And it's like, what's the matter with you people? It's, you know, 2016. Isn't it about time we, like, look at the content of the character, Dr. King? Thank you. You know, so it is timeless. It's the message is definitely something that I think will be on forever.
Yeah. You mentioned the Jean Cocteau one, which was much darker.
Yes, yes, yes. So this is very dark. In fact, that was the biggest dilemma for Disney was how to fill in all that time, because all they do is go to dinner and fight in the original movie. So that's the genius of Disney. They create these wonderful characters, Mrs. Potts and Lemire and Cogsworth, and create this whole fantastic story in the middle. And I love the way that they subtly showed them falling in love. It wasn't just going to dinner. In fact, the scene in Something There when they're playing in the snow, the directors and Alan Menken and Howard and all said, this is the moment, Paige. Belle falls in love with them. And I said, don't tell me when the little birds jump on his hand, she touches them and runs behind the tree. Yes. They hadn't animated it yet, but I saw the storyboards of it. And that's really the first time she, you know, does a loving touch on him. And she looks at him and he has vulnerability for the first time in the film at that moment. With a big grin and the birds. And that's kind of the...
So how jazz were you when this was the first animated film that was nominated for an Academy Award?
I know. Isn't that amazing? And it actually won the Golden Globe for Best Picture that year. And I think it, if people, you know, have been a little further along with the animation in terms of their opening their minds, the actors who vote, I think it would have won. I do. I think that there's so much prejudice, and what cracks me up is some of these famous actors. Oh, that's not acting. That's not acting. You know. Well, what the heck do you think it is? And then the next year, every big star wants to do a voice in them.
Yeah. And they still do.
And they still do. Exactly.
Has there ever been a fan experience that just sticks with you?
Oh, there's several. There's sad ones and there's happy ones, you know. I actually had a little girl come up to me, and she recognized me through my voice. And I was just talking with my husband. And we were at Disney World, so she was obviously a Disney fan and probably watched me on the Disney Channel as well, you know. She came up, she kept staring at me, but like this to her mom's dress, staring at me, and I'm yakking with my phone. She's this big, comes right to me, "Are you Belle?" And I went, "Yes, I am." And she went, "Ah!" And she started screaming and started hugging me and kissing me and stuff like that. Her mom was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, ma'am, I'm so sorry." I said, "No, she's right, it's me." And she's, "I'm so sorry." We hugged and giggled, and I did the voice for her, and, you know, I was doing, you know, singing little songs. And then on the sad side, I like to help children in certain hospitals and stuff, and there was a cancer ward young man. He's about, I think he was between 10 and 11. He's like a young man going on 40, you know. And the nurses told me that he had no family visiting at all. He'd been kind of by himself, and his last wish, you know, was to meet me, which I was blown away by that. And she said, "Oh my gosh, I can do this," because Paige lives right here in town. I'm making a phone call. So I went into the room. His name was Daniel, and he was watching the movie and reading the Bible. Had no hair, really. And he said, "Miss O'Hara," and he actually knew my Broadway career. He knew it wasn't just Belle, but he loved Belle. He told me, we spent about 2 hours together, but he said, "I wish I could have lived just to marry someone like Belle." And we watched the movie, and he read the Bible. We talked about, we both were Christians, so we both talked about his faith, and he passed away the next day. That was the best 2 hours I spent utilizing Belle, because he was laughing. We had so much fun. The nurse said, "I haven't heard him laugh at all since he's been here." So it was that, you know, God bless Disney that gave me that opportunity to do that for that kid, you know.
And when you first auditioned, were you aware of how active Belle was? Because she was one of those first persons.
Absolutely, and I encouraged that.
You're related to it, I'm sure.
Oh, totally, totally. I was one of those things where I read the script and I felt she was like me, you know, younger, but me. And consequently, Linda Wolverton, who's their writer, she and I could be sisters. I mean, she's very much Belle as well. You know, it's kind of funny with when you do an animated character like this, you have everybody's Belle. You know, Mark Henn, James Baxter, that are painting her and making her come to life, and then my voice, and then Linda, who's writing her words, and Alan and Howard. It's just, it's weird, because in the theater, you know, it's you and the writers, and that's it, you know. But now you have artists and...
Did you have to go back and re-record certain things depending on the animators and what they thought was like best for a scene? Or how did
I was off and on working for 2 years, and I would do certain scenes. The first 2 days, I recorded the entire script. They went away and started animating, and they videotape you during the whole time. So the little hair in the eye was mine, and, you know, little things, quirks, you know, funny faces, and they incorporate all that. And then they go back and they rewrite it, and they say, "Well, I think we make this scene stronger." They threw out a whole Be Our Guest segment because it was to Maurice, and they wanted it for Belle, so that was like hundreds of thousands of dollars of money spent to throw that away. But they're perfectionists, so...
Did you ever have a scene? Sorry, I'm asking the same question. Was there ever a scene that you wanted to be kept in the movie that they had to take out due to time or director's vision?
Human Again. The song Human Again.
Oh, yeah.
Which was only in the second release. Okay. It was Howard Ashman's favorite song. And I think, in terms of just, I think it's my favorite song too. When I just sit down and listen to it now, you know, to the recording. Because we have it recorded on one version, but, and of course they put it in the Broadway version. But I just love the fact that you get the background of those little characters, you know, wanting to be human again, and just, oh, it just chokes you up, you know. So I that was for time back then. There was a formula.
It had to be like under 1:30, I think, or something.
Yes, no more than that. They preferred 1:25. It was like crazy, down to a science. But now kids are so much smarter.
Hi. Well, she's a modern-day liberal woman, and she really was not interested in looking for a man. She was looking for adventure and getting out of this little town because she reads about all these incredible places, and she wants to experience these incredible places. And it just so happens that when this happens, she's in the castle, and her father's going to be killed. She knows, you know, left to die in the dungeon. And the whole shocking turn of the story is when she shows selflessness to give up her life for her father. And that was a very poignant and telling scene, and I didn't appreciate it as much in my 30s as I do now that I'm 60. I really appreciate what they wrote in that character at that time. She was definitely not like the others. I mean, love happened, but it was not something that she wanted. She was very headstrong, very driven, very compassionate, and very patient, actually. That's why I like it. When I actually encouraged him for that scene when I'm yelling at him with patching up his paw. I said, she's got to lose her temper sometime, okay? She's human. So they love that, and they let me, like, scream at him at that one time. So made her a little more human.
That's what I like about him.
Earlier you said you were at Disney World.
Yes.
I go to Disneyland all the time. Here's my year pass.
Oh, they're that's Disney so funny.
It's our show too. But,
oh, that's so cool.
So how does it? Just curious because my friends keep wondering, how does it work? Do you just drop your name and go in any of the parks and you go often? Or how does it work? And how do I get the help?
I have a lifetime pass.
Okay, perfect.
Lifetime pass, and it's very interesting when you put it into the system, and Michael and I walk through.
Hi,
within like 4 minutes, I have security and helpers all around me. So they have a signal that goes through their computer. Mm-hmm. And next thing I know, I'm surrounded by people walking me through the park.
Awesome.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's cool.
Now can I know the friends? Inside.
Do you go often?
Not as often as I'd like. Okay. I'd like to go more. And I think we're going to make that a goal coming up. Because now that I'm painting, and they're now starting to put my paintings in the parks. Just starting
wow.
to. So...
Are any of your paintings, like when I go into Disneyland to the right side, there's like an art gallery. Are your paintings hanging there currently? In Disneyland, I'm talking about Disneyland.
Oh, where they have my photo with the other one?
Yeah.
No, that's actually from the film.
Okay.
But I do have, I have one, a ballroom scene mm-hmm. called First Dance that's out there, and Enchanted Rose, which is not actually made up because Belle's in the ball gown with the rose and she wasn't in the film. Mm-hmm. But it was one I was commissioned to do by a fan. And she generously let us embellish it, and she kept the original. But that one's selling like crazy. Where Belle's like, you know, right there about to touch the rose. So those are two in the parks, but I've sold a lot, and praise God. And Magical Memories, which is in Las Vegas, the gallery is reopening in December, and I can't really say the spot yet, but it's a very prominent place in Las Vegas. And all the Disney artists will be in one place.
What's your original medium?
I originally did watercolors my whole life.
Oh, wow. Because that's tough. Watercolor's tough. They I do oils.
So. I do now, and it's so much easier, yeah. But I love oil. It's so forgiving. Oh, my gosh. You make a mistake, and you just paint over it.
Exactly.
You know? But my stepdad was an architect. He you know, I said, I really want to paint, and he said, you need to learn a watercolor first. Because if you can learn watercolor first, you can do anything.
That's true, but...
So that was great. And I would copy Turner and Sargent. I love copying Turner, his watercolors. So,
do you have any involvement with the film, the new one?
The new one?
Yes.
Just through Don Hahn, you know, who's co-producing that one. And he keeps us informed about how it's all going. And I think it's going to be sensational.
From, you know, justice?
From what I'm hearing from Don, because Don's such a perfectionist. If he's happy, then I know it's good. And Emma's going to be adorable. I think she's perfect casting. She's quirky and smart, and I definitely can see her as Belle.
Mm-hmm. So. It was funny because we... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
What do you hope they bring in modern times as a woman?
I think they're sticking to pretty close to what we did in my film 25 years ago, because it is, you know, turn of the century, you know, it's 1800s, you know, so there's only so far they can go. But Emma, from what I understand, is very much like Belle as well, and she's putting her stamp on it like that. I don't know what they're doing contemporary. I do understand there's some contemporary scenes, and I'm not quite sure how they're doing it because they're keeping it very secretive. But I just know from Don Hahn, if he's happy, then the movie's great. And I feel kind of like with our movie, you know, 25 years of enjoying this, it's like we're passing the baton to the next generation with live action, a new Belle, and hopefully children from decades and decades to come, you know, will enjoy both versions, you know. I do hear it's very similar. My friends from Disney that have seen it said they stick very close to the original of my version. Yeah.
We were at the last D23 Expo, and when they showed just a second of Emma in the dress, in the yellow dress, it brought down the house. It was incredible. Did you know the time that, for example, the dress would become something iconic? And talking about the dress and the color, I don't know, maybe everybody else knows, but have you been in the dress, or they ask you to...
They've asked me, first time I put on a Belle dress was about 2 months ago. I can show you a picture. For a friend of mine who was producing Beauty and the Beast in the park in Las Vegas. Wow. And I went there to help the kids and, you know, be there and give them encouragement. And the director and this girl playing Belle, she's a costume designer. That's her living. She sings and acts for fun. And this gown was so detailed. I think I have a picture. And she said, just do this for me. You've got to just put this on. And she said, you're so tiny, it's going to be too big. So she pinned in the back of it. She's so cute, Sandra. You'll see it on the bonus features. They're all over it. She's all over it. her kids are all over it, dancing and singing. Okay, I have it here somewhere. Oh, that's Cake Wars. Wrong one. Oh, okay, if I don't find it in a second, we'll move on. I just got so much stuff in here.
It's worth it.
You need to download.
I know. I'll find it in a minute when we take a break.
How do you feel?
I feel great.
Wearing the dress, yeah.
Oh, I felt great. I wanted to show you because I'm just smiling up a storm. Let me see. I find it. It's my vision. Oh, here it is. I found it.
Let's see. Oh, wow.
It's my husband.
You are tiny.
It's me and my husband. And my husband played the Beast in the Broadway version, which is crazy. He was in L.A. I know. When I saw him do the Beast with Susan Egan, I like freaked.
Can you see it?
Wow, you look amazing.
Thank you. Not bad at 60, huh?
Hey. 60 is a good number. I know.
Oh, you look good, Missy. You don't look 60.
It's not bad at 21.
There you go. I know. Isn't that funny?
Oh,
that's the little girl who played Belle. Yeah. Little girl. She's 35. To me, she's a little girl.
Oh, this is a great shot, too.
It's really fun on the DVD, on the movie. You'll see. I have her and her husband in there. And her husband is an amazing artist. Oh my gosh! But she handmade that. I mean, she handmade every little stitch and every little bow, and she's got jewels and ribbons.
That everywhere. It's like, I'm not crazy.
That's what I should wear for the 18th in the Lincoln Center. There you go.
Go to Comic Con like that, and you're set.
You would be set.
That's so funny.
Yeah. One of our colleagues who was not here actually had sent a question, and I thought he sort of answered it, but he wanted to know, did you ever expect that Beauty and the Beast to become such a classic movie that is watched by generations and generations?
In the beginning, we didn't expect it. I knew that after Little Mermaid had you know, started to make its comeback, you know, thanks to Jeffrey Katzenberg and those people, you know, and thanks to Howard Ashman, who pretty much, you know, co-produced and put up their own money. I knew it would be really good, like Little Mermaid. I didn't know it would be classic until really we got to New York Film Festival and it was partially still hand-drawn with, you know, storyboard, and partially animated. It went in and out. And I'm a New York, you know, New Yorker. I know the critics, how tough they are, you know. And we were there, and all of us were in the back, kind of. And after the bell number, oh, it's applause. And after each number, oh, it's applause. And I was like, okay, all right. And then at the end of the movie, the entire audience stood up for 10 minutes and bravoed and cheered. And I said, New York, they don't do this for just anything. This is really special. And so we knew from that night that it was going to be a classic, especially when I saw the full movie for the first time.
Do you have to trust the director more than in a Broadway musical, for example? Because at least in theater, you have the feedback from the audience, and here you are in a bubble.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you totally trust them. And like I said, what they brought to it, the Kirk and Gary, the directors, but also Howard, because Howard was the true visionary of the entire piece. He saw the acting, the singing, the music, the drawing, the story, the plot, everything. He kind of had the overall vision, and he and Don Hahn sort of got all of us involved in their vision. And so I totally trusted them, and they knew what they were doing. And they also gave us freedom to ad lib if we wanted. And for me, it made it easier for me once Robbie Benson was hired, because he came in a month after I did. They hadn't found a beast yet, and he's such a great actor. Oh my God, he's such a great actor. And we got to record together, so it was all real, interacting face to face, you know, and I think consequently that made it a lot more genuine, you know, and real. It was an amazing experience. Robbie made me better. He really did.
It's interesting, as you said, that you got to record together, because we've noticed lately a lot of the voice actors don't get to
99% of the time.
Yeah.
They won't do it because, you know, it's so hard sound-wise, because you get interaction problems and feedback, and it takes double the time and double the money to record together. But sometimes you come up with some amazing things. And the Gaston and I recorded together also. Richard White and I go back, oh my gosh, 1980, you know. We played opposite each other in so many plays and musicals, and then he got cast as Gaston. It was a riot. So that was a very realistic thing. In fact, I was a lot of outtakes and stuff. Belle was a little too tough on Gaston. And they said, I don't think this will work for the period, but it's very funny. You know?
Special features of the
movie. I told him, I was talking about his stinky feet when he puts his feet up, and that. Gaston, your feet stink. They're smelly. I was like, going on, carry on. I did one of their ad lib to the Beast when he transforms into the prince, and she rubs his face. Do you think you could grow a beard? You know, we had a good time. They wanted us to encourage us to be creative. And of course, you know, Robin Williams took that to an entirely new level with Aladdin, because I would say 80% of what he said he made up, you know.
Yep.
After 25 years, do you like where Disney is also taking, the now princesses with Elsa and...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, you know, Mulan inspired me to go out and take martial arts. I mean, I take combat and kickboxing and all that, because I just loved her strength. And I said, I want to have that physical strength, you know. And when I was doing my show for 9 years, Menopause the Musical, which is a great experience. You know, you're with your best girlfriends every day for 9 years, you know.
I saw the Spanish version.
Oh, you did? Well, it was glorious. I just got tired after 9 years, and I got, you know, way too thin. I got down to 99 pounds. And I said, it's time to get out and for a while and eat and go to the gym, work out. So now I'm up to 114. I feel great. I feel stronger than I have since I was 35. And a lot of it's due to Mulan, because I kept watching her. I want to do that. I want to be able to do that. My husband's, he used to teach fencing, so he gives me a few pointers. It's just fun to let out your, you know, when you're angry or something. Not on a person, but you could just go into the gym and just kickbox, and I love it. And then Zumba, you know, that's not Mulan, but... But back to your question. I love... Mulan was the one that just got me inspired to physically be an athlete.
Be a Man has to be one of my favorite songs.
Oh, my gosh. And Leia's voice, you know, Oh my gosh, I love singing with Lea Salonga. We've done a few concerts together. I love it, but I love her, and I love Elsa. I don't know. What are your favorites after of the newer ones?
I fell in love with Rapunzel, to be honest with you, when she was like the first 3D yes. princess.
Yes,
she's so naive and adorable. I love that.
She is adorable. She is adorable. That's a good choice.
Since you were all here, can you like give us a little taste of Belle?
Well, you want to, well, quite close your eyes, because really it was my voice, only that the microphone was here, and I would say a line like, Gaston, you're positively primeval. All
right.
Papa? How many times did I say Papa in this movie? Papa, where are you? Papa? I must have said Papa 500 million times in the course of 2 years.
Thank you so
the singing I do, but I'm still half asleep because I'm a night person. I sound more like Bea Ortha than Belle if I say that.
I love Bea Ortha.
I do too. I love Bea Ortha.
People ask you to record their voicemail by greetings.
Well, to do what?
Did they ask you to record their voicemail greetings? Like, hello, you reached someone. Like,
Disney won't let me do it.
No,
no. I mean, they have like a list, a contract that's like this thick.
Wow.
And do you know that in my contract it says for the universe? Oh. It doesn't say for United States, for the world. It says for the universe.
It was foreshadowing for Star Wars.
There you go. So I guess we're going to be in Mars, or in Belle, Beauty and the Beast will be playing in Mars before, you know, in the next 25 years. But that's one of the rules. Yeah.
Have you seen your original recordings in the recording studio? Are they
going to
be on the Blu-ray,
the
DVD features?
Oh, you mean the songs from the movie?
No, from the
Oh, yes, they're showing a lot of it. A lot of that on there. And Lin-Manuel is going to be on there with Alan Menken. I mean, there's some amazing things on there. From my understanding, he's like going to sell just because people want to see him, you know, with Alan. Can you imagine in the same room, those two people? I mean, so
yeah.
It's going to be really fun.
Did you see him, and did you remember a lot of the things that went on in the recording studio?
I did. I made... one of the things, you know, well, the fun thing was when I was finishing up, and Alan was, I mean, Howard was really on death's door in the hospital on the phone when we did something there, and I couldn't get that one line right, you know, new and a bit alarming, and he was like, put a little Streisand in it in my headset, and then, of course, I nailed it the next take. But when he was healthy, we recorded the Belle song, and we must have done the Little Town segment 35 times. Quiet Village, and when it started, the Quiet Village, it was like little nuances he wanted that now I, you know, but then I was like, oh my God, but talk about perfectionist, oh my gosh, it turned out that Howard was a huge fan of my Showboat recording that I had done with John McGlynn and EMI Records, so that, I think that really helped a lot when I came in, that he had already knew me from that recording, and the recording had won all kinds of awards, Friederike von Stada as... on the ingenue as Magnolia. You guys got to hear it. She's so. It was really cool.
And so being part of the Disney family, and you've done other voices. What's your other favorite voice that you've done other than Belle's?
I had fun doing Princess Alita for this. It's a cartoon series where Robbie Benson was the lead, and that was kind of fun. I did a little movie called Legend of the Candy Cane, Christian movie for Christian Film Network. That was, I sang some really pretty songs and that, but nothing comes close to Belle. Mm-hmm. No, nowhere close.
I got that feeling.
No.
Belle rocks.
What do you prefer, digital download or Blu-ray? I'm a Blu-ray person.
You're talking to a woman who's a dinosaur when it comes to technology. I mean, I'm lucky enough I can use my phone and text and do that kind of thing. Put me on a computer and I'm constantly screwing up the computer. So I had to just preface that. I will know when I see the digital download because I haven't seen it yet. So I'm going to...
Well,
I love Blu-ray.
Yeah,
I do love Blu-ray.
Actually, you own it. Well,
yes.
Well, you own both, but the digital download is kind of like... you know.
Oh, it's in the universe.
It's the universe, exactly.
I'd rather just.
And the digital download is the one that has all those bonus features that so many extra things on it. My little documentary is on that. And, well, I think the documentary is on both of them. Okay. My painting is only on the the download. They had me create a painting that I can show you. That's going to be. They said do a conceptual painting. Do it whatever you want. And the only time they'd done this for digital download was for Snow White, and Mark Henn did the painting. And so I was very honored when they asked me to do it. I painted my first Ariel for a little girl's birthday. That's my first Ariel.
Nice. That's really nice. Good.
She was pretty excited. It was cool.
Yes, I'm excited.
Well, it's so funny because Jody and I also go back, you know, 30 years. But this is it. It's if you notice the sky, I did it. I took my Turner and Sargent background and did an impressionistic sky with the rose and the clouds.
Did you take classes, or was this more of a hobby that turned into?
I painted just as a little kid for escape, and then it became some a way to help pay my rent in New York.
You did illustrations, things like that.
I didn't draw well. I found out Sargent didn't draw well, so I would do like a rough sketch, and then my paintbrush would do the detail.
I always felt I have weakness of drawing too, but I felt my paint the colors.
Did you? Awesome.
Thank
you. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool.
How long does that take you?
That one I took a couple of months.
Okay.
Yeah, with the oil. I didn't want to do acrylic on that one. I wanted it to be oil. And so it takes a while to dry. But, and, of course, they have say, you know, there's a very important man at Disney Fine Art who can say, I don't like this. Send me back sketches of what to change. Uh-huh. And he did make a huge change on my original one. I had the beast like that, at her over the arm, you know, more of a surprise. And he said, I want him smiling. I just want him to smile at putting his arm around. I understood his idea. So, but that took me another 3 weeks to change his face. Because you change from this to smile, everything changes in his face, you know.
And you have specific colors, right?
He didn't criticize my colors. I'm one of the few of the Disney artists that really sticks closely to the film. Mm-hmm. That's just my choice. I try to paint like what they did, you know, and then add my expressions. Well, what the guys that are the great artists, and you know, they're the experienced ones, and like Rodel and those people, they tell me to encourage me. They say, Paige, you have more emotion in your paintings than most of us do because you're such an actress that don't worry about the technical stuff. It'll happen as you go along, and they've been really supportive and helpful to me a lot. And it's very cool. We don't really feel competitive. It's because we're all so different, you know.
Do you find yourself ever wondering about any possible next chapter in their story?
In the
Belle and the Prince?
I don't think that... I don't envision that happening right now with the live action coming out. You know, Enchanted Christmas was a big step that they did like a prequel, you know, in fact. And actually, I love doing Enchanted Christmas. Talk about my second favorite thing to doing the original movie. That was that movie. I don't know if you have any ideas, let me know.
Sure, what's your phone number?
Okay. Well, you know what? We'll just pass them along. I would love to have a, you know.
Which is your favorite character in the film, besides Belle, of course?
Oh, the Beast, yeah. The Beast, no question. He's my favorite character over Belle. Love the Beast.
Handsome prince for an animated character.
And you know what? People criticize him as the prince. Okay, I got to show you something. Disney said, don't bother painting the prince. Nobody wants the prince. They're not going to buy the prince. And I said, oh, really? I'm painting it anyway. And so I did. And I'll find it for you. I think it's on my other one. It sold in 3 days.
Cool.
3 days. I'll show you my prince. And you know what? He was gorgeous. How can you not love that? I think he's the most handsome, sexiest prince of any of them.
Yeah,
Glenn Keane is friggin' genius.
And he was only on the screen for like, what, 10 seconds?
I know.
He has lips like mine.
He does. He has beautiful lips. You have great lips. I wish I had those lips. Yeah, it sold in like 3 days, and they were like, all right, Paige. All right, we convinced us, you know, cha-ching.
I started that
one. So do they convert your paintings into lithographs?
Yes,
or, okay.
Yes.
It's like looking in the mirror.
There you go. You could put that kind of strawberry wig on. Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's... They'll do different.
Like
there's APs, certain APs that do artist proofs, then they do SNs, and then they do lithographs, all the different price ranges. And then the ones that I embellish, of course, are more. So they'll send them to me, and I'll pull out the brushes, and everyone will be different, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so I like doing that.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah. You know, you're an artist. I can. So it's great, and this new gallery is going to be really exciting.
Oh, cool.
And I've been experimenting. I did my first Elsa, which I loved, and that one for my little girlfriend with cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. And she always said, she calls me Auntie Paige. She's not my, but I'm her Auntie Paige, just like a lot of kids are. I'm a surrogate mama. She's Auntie Paige, I love Belle, and she's my second favorite, but Ariel's still my favorite.
She's honest.
She is honest, and this little girl, she's turned 29, was not supposed to live past 21.
Wow.
With her disease. And so we threw a party for her, and I gave her the Ariel, and she was like crazy. She's a miracle from God, this girl. She got hit on a crosswalk a year and a half ago on her wheelchair crossing the street, dragged by a truck 60 feet, got in the hospital, and they saved her life, and she's going full-time to UNLV at college. In her wheelchair every day. She's a miracle. She's like my inspiration. I mean, I don't know how she does it. But those people.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there. They're the heroes.
What do you think is the, I don't want to say the function, but what is that thing that movies like this one add to humanity, to civilization after, I don't know, nowadays we have so much technology and so much content at our fingerprints.
Absolutely.
What is the value of a movie like that today?
Well, I think the movie always has to be treated with great respect because it was the last hand-drawn Disney animated film. All of it was hand-drawn except for a couple of moments where when they created the technology for the camera on the ballroom scene. That was created for that, and then now they use it all the time. But other than that, it would take an animator, with Beauty and the Beast, it took an animator an entire week to draw 20 seconds of film. And even then, they'd go back and have to make changes. So 4 years for the artists to do this. And that just doesn't happen anymore with the new computer generation. I miss the hand drawing, but then I'm an artist, and I appreciate... They're more realistic, you know. They're more three-dimensional on their faces and multi-dimensional, I should say. And I think that will separate it between that and the story and the score. Like Sound of Music will be a classic forever for Rodgers and Hammerstein. I believe for Mankin and Ashman, this will be that for them.
Yeah, the music of Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, it is exceptional.
My girlfriend, she's one of the biggest Celine Dion fans ever. I have seen her performance of this wonderful song. But I wonder, what is the relationship of the artist that provided the voice for the films and the song for the movie with other artists that have kind of taken the songs and do their own version? How do you feel about it?
It's capitalism at its best, you know? I don't know. I think it's great. You know, they want to do it. I'm not sure I'd like all of them that I've heard, you know? A couple versions of the song Beauty and the Beast out there that I haven't liked, you know, in the last few years. But then I'm very partial, and I'm a purist, you know? You got to remember, I come from musical theater, you know, Jerome Kern, Rodgers and Hammerstein, George Gershwin. I'm very much a purist. And so I'm not going to be as open-minded as a lot of other people are. But, you know, it's I think it's fantastic. And, you know, it's great for those composers and they get their royalties and more people record their music, you know. It's wonderful.
Do you ever bump into merchandise, like, and like, oh, I didn't know that was that existed, and just buy it? And what's the weirdest?
Well, you know, for years and years, really up until maybe 10 years ago, I was still recording Belle's voice for all the toys, all the interactive toys, the stories, and all of that. And they sort of did a change at age 50, you know, the princesses retire, which is crazy. You know, they don't see you. Hello. But it's their formula, and it's fine. I respect it. But it's really strange. But pretty much most of the stuff that I record, they send me a copy of it. So in my art room, I have a big closet. And then I'll pull out some of those for charity events, you know, to raise money or whatever, and get everybody to sign it and that kind of thing. It's really cool. That's awesome.
Talking about the painting, do you think that you are getting another kind of satisfaction from that that's different from your performing artistic side, or is it the same?
It's different. You know, I'm more confident, obviously, as a singer and an actress, because that's something I've done since I'm 3 years old, you know. I've always painted, but I've never done it, you know, really for a profession. You know, I would make watercolors for my acting teacher when I was 7 because she was so mean to me. And I just thought, okay, when I brought her watercolors, she got really nice, you know, and she kept saying, no, you need to go out of the theater and go be an artist. And so that would upset me sometimes. So when I started to make it, and she called me up and said, I was wrong. I'm so proud of you.
You said, give me back my watercolors.
Exactly, give them back. So, yeah, no, it's funny. But there's a certain, you know, I'm just astonished that people are buying my artwork. It's, you know, when I'd sell them on the street for, you know, next to nothing, it was, I would sell, usually, I did occasionally a Snow White, but I would paint Judy Garland and, you know, Elvis and do the portraits and stuff and people, and then Turner's. I'd do Turner watercolors, landscapes, and, you know, I could do them in one night and then sell them out there the next day. And that was fun, you know, but now I'm in the big league. I remember walking in after I was asked to be an artist after they saw my work at a Rodel event. And I walked into the Canoga Park and these masterpieces all over the wall, and I was like, Michael, I don't want to open my box. I don't want them to see one of my paintings. Let's go right now. So I was ready to tail up the door. He's like, okay, Paige, you know, they've already said they want to sign you. They got to see your paintings. That was the scariest thing, but also so incredible. I mean, Toby Bluth. You guys remember who Toby was? Yeah. Bambi. You know,
I actually wanted to ask, what was your favorite film, like, before you auditioned, when you're like, you got the call from Disney, it's like, oh, I can't wait to work with Disney because blah, blah, blah.
Mary Poppins is my favorite of all time. You know, that was when I was a little kid and I got hooked, you know. Gotcha. But, you know, I love them all. I love Bambi. I have a special place in my heart for Bambi. I'm an animal person, and, you know, and Toby's work and so many of the stuff there was hand drawn and painted in watercolor.
Yeah. Aristocats.
Yes, Aristocats.
Beautiful music.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, but I love them all. I mean, what's not to love? It was interesting, though. The one that I was shocked that the audience didn't accept was Jodie Benson and Leia, and all of us were singing for the opening of Hunchback of Notre Dame. And they went too far with the whipping hellfire scene, because I would say it was about 75,000 people there. I would say 5,000 people left. And Don Hahn said in retrospect, we should have changed that scene, and but it was really an adult movie,
Exactly.
But the critics certainly accepted it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have friends that think that's one of the best that's ever been made.
Yeah.
So.
It's touching, all those films.
Oh, they are. They're amazing. I do understand that you might be worried about your 3-year-old.
Yeah, watching.
You know. Yeah. So.
And it is sad. I think it's one of them. It's one of the ones that actually sticks with you for a while, because, you know, historically accurate.
I know, it is. And I thought it was perfection in terms of, there again, the collaboration all coming together with the same vision, you know. So, and I loved Alan Menken doing more of a classical, you know, musical theater score, right, with that, like he did with Beauty and the Beast. You know? So
we can't all have cute movies. We have to have a little mixture of reality.
And that's why that family film won over Beauty and the Beast, Science of the Lambs, you know? Nice family film.
Yeah, that's a good
okay. For what it's worth, Billy Crystal wanted Beauty and the Beast to win. I was sending him hot tea and golden seal root. And he had to flew the night of the Oscars.
I was performing.
Yeah, I performed on it. Yeah. It was great. Billy was so funny. Oh my gosh. But Angela Lansbury introduced me, you know, and I think you probably heard the story because I've told it before, but it's still funny. She was in the wings ready to go out to introduce me, and I was singing live, and I was like, wearing this stupid Bo Peep dress that looked nothing like Belle. I hated it. That's another story. I didn't have the guts to say to the designer, this has nothing to do with Belle, okay? You know, she's not frou-frou. I need it. Well, anyway. So I'm shaking, and Angela Lansbury's shaking, and I look up, and I say, Angie, you're nervous? She said, Paige, when you get to be my age, learn when you're supposed to be nervous. This is it. And then she patted me on the butt. She said, but if I sang like you, I wouldn't be nervous at all. And she walks out, grand dame, you know, not a nerve on her face. And it was funny. And then I come out to sing Little Town, and I'm seeing Nick Nolte and Barbara Streisand and all these people right in the front, you know. It was crazy.
Just wanted to ask, since Belle's character is also a reader, do you find yourself to be a...
I've always been a bookworm, yeah.
Your favorite, or one of your favorite books, I should say?
Other than the Bible. God, I love To Kill a Mockingbird, of the classics. And I loved it in the last several years. James Patterson came out with that Maximum Ride series, just for escapism. I love to read about her. She's the hero, you know, about the genetically engineered kids that have all these... They fly, and they have all these special gifts and try to save the world, you know. It's a fun escape stuff. And that, he said, James Patterson said that was financially most successful over Alex Cross of any series he's ever written.
Wow.
Because children and adults loved it. So, yeah. Oh. Teenagers love it. If you guys know teenagers and want something fun to read, Max is a superhero girl, big time. So, yeah. That's a movie that has to be made.
James Patterson, isn't one of his books, is that Zoo? That's on CBS right now?
I don't know.
Oh, I heard that he had one. Yes, I don't get time for TV that much right now, except when it's basketball season. I'm an NBA diehard. No one calls me or bothers me when my teams are playing. So.
While you're painting?
No, I can't. I study it. I mean, I go back and watch the games over and figure out how I'd coach them differently, you know. So.
What part of the world were you most shocked that people knew Beauty and the Beast? You've obviously had a chance to travel, right?
Yes.
So, what place have you traveled to and gone, underestimated the people as far as, being fans of the
I think probably Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the enormity in Japan. And I went to the opening of the Broadway version in Japan at their stage performance. And the fan mail that came from Japan, I mean, even not just for the Japanese version, but they bought the American version.
Mm-hmm.
I think we almost outsold the Japanese version over there. It was, I'm not sure, I have to look at those numbers, but they were all across the board. I've had a lot of mail from the Japan fans, and it's been really cool. And,
actually, crazy. I can see it, because it has some kind of a Japanese sensibility, the film.
Yeah. I love being, Michael and I did a 21 city tour with the Tokyo Philharmonic of Beauty and the Beast in concert. My husband did, you know, Gaston and the Beast, and I brought my best girlfriend over from Australia to do Mrs. Potts and 21 city tour. And what an amazing country, and what an amazing orchestra! Oh my gosh, singing up there with a 100-piece orchestra behind you is pretty crazy, pretty wonderful.
Bigger than Broadway.
Bigger orchestra than Broadway. We had 100 pieces though for the filming of Beauty and the Beast. We had the Philharmonic plus 25 people. So, cool. Yeah.
Talking about the live action film, is there one thing in particular that you're very curious to see how they translate that into live action?
I think what's going to be really sensational is the transformation at the end. Because technically they were so far advanced now from 25 years ago, from even the live actions of 25 years ago. So I think that's going to be probably pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see that. And, of course, the ballroom scene, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
there's a lot of scenes. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Get ready to cry.
Yeah, get ready to cry for sure. Definitely bring tissues to that one. Oh, that's right. I have to go, don't I?
Sorry.
What are you saying? Party?
No, just was there walking into like the Walt Disney Studios? Was there something like on the walls because they have all these original drawings and paintings that like stood out to you? Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm walking past this. Or
my favorite is Glenn Keane's hand drawn of the Beast. In fact, I have it on my phone. where he's in the middle between the Prince and the Beast, and as he's twirling around.
Oh,
and the drawing of him in the middle of that, oh my God, is unbelievable. And Glenn Keane, I've talked to him about my painting and stuff. I said, why don't we do one together? He said, Paige, I can't paint. It's like, don't tell me that. I don't believe a word you're saying. Glenn Keane swears he can only draw and cannot paint. I said, well, you draw it and I'll paint it. But I know he's not telling the truth. He can do anything in terms of an artist. So.
Can we expect a cameo in the live action?
I wish.
I
wish. Only cameo I did was Hunchback, Notre Dame in the opening scene. It's the only one I had. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, cameo in Enchanted when I played the soap star. But.
Oh,
maybe a sequel.
Well, this was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.